Welcome, everyone, to Arise Family Church, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. We've been on a series called Faith's Secret Weapon to Take New Territory. So let's go ahead and turn to Psalm 118. This is our theme of scripture, Psalm 118. Hallelujah. Psalm 118. It says this, verse 24, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Glory to God. This is a verse or a declaration of a choice that we are going to make. We are choosing. See, we don't have to do this. We don't have to do anything. But it's a choice that we are choosing. This is the day the Lord has made. I choose to rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And what kind of a day is it? Well, verse 21 tells us what kind of day it is. Verse 21 says, "I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation." He's become our salvation. Ha! Hallelujah. He's become our salvation. What does that word mean? The word salvation means deliverance. It means healing. It means prosperity. It means victory. It means protection. It means rescue. This is who he is. Amen? He's our salvation. He's our Savior. And one of the root words to this is to avenge. And so that's what I talked about, I think it was last month in our healing month. Jesus is our avenger. He protects and defends us. He's our avenger. He's our Savior. Amen? Glory to God. And so, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And you know what? I can't do it for you, and you can't do it for me. This is something we must do on our own for ourselves. Right? Hallelujah. So last week we talked about how to respond to frustration. And Jesus said this, in this world we will have frustration. There will be test trials, there will be tribulation, there will be frustration, there'll just be situations and circumstances that just are not nice. But he said, be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. And we found out he didn't do it for himself, he did it for us. He says, I've deprived it of its power and ability to harm and overcome you, overtake you. Glory to God. And so how do we respond to frustration? Well, we talked about that. Count it all joy. Be glad and rejoice. There is a whole bunch. And we finished off with, when things don't look like they're working out, he said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll joy in the God of my salvation, for the Lord God is my strength. He's our source. He's our help. In every situation and circumstance, God is not our problem. He's not our problem. He's our answer. It's our answer. Hallelujah. And so the word rejoice means to, there are a couple of different words that the Hebrew uses, and so we looked, and in the Greek, it means to jump around for joy, to spin around and to be joyful, to be merry-hearted, to rejoice and to brighten up. So to jump around and spin around, to jump around and spin around. Hallelujah. This is what rejoice means. So rejoice is not a passive word, right? Do you understand that? It's an active word. Rejoice is an action word. Hallelujah. Jump up and down, spin around. Jump up and down, spin around. To be glad, gleeful, merry-hearted, joyful, rejoicing, to brighten up, and to cheer up. Cheer up. Cheer up. So when situations and circumstances are against us, and which seems to be not very fun, what's the response? Cheer up. Cheer up makes all the difference. Are we supposed to cheer up just, are we just supposed to pretend to be cheerful? No. See, in the world, lots of people are pretending to be cheerful. They put on a happy face when everything is nasty on the inside. But because we are born again, because the King of Kings and Lord of Lords lives on the inside of us. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He has moved on the inside of us. When we got born again, God moved in us. We're called the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. So we're not to be cheer up just on our own. We're to cheer up because he's empowering and enabling us to be cheerful when it's not possible. He will enable us. He's not going to make us be cheerful. We're going to have to yield to him. We're going to have to work together with him. We're going to have to push through some stuff. But he is there to help us rejoice when it looks like everything else is not, it's not possible to do it. He helps us. He helps us. See, God is not a travel agent. He doesn't just hand out the brochure and say, hey, here you go. Have fun. He's a tour guide. He says, hey, follow me. I'll show you how it's done. He goes with us. He shows us. He helps us. He enables us. He's right there in the midst of it with us. Because that's who he is. He loves to hang out with us. He loves to be with us. He loves us being with him. It's a joy. It's a joy. It's a joy. Psalm 16. We're going to go through a bunch of scriptures today. So make sure you take notes if you're not able to keep up. I suggest just taking notes, even if you can keep up, because you will want to look at these things again. Psalm 16, verse 11 says this, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In your presence is fullness of joy. This is what we're talking about. Fullness of joy. Rejoicing. So today I want to talk about this. This is what I want to talk about. Expressions of joy. Expressions of joy. We've been talking about rejoicing and finding out that it means to jump up and down and spin around. Glory to God. You know, but what are some other expressions of joy? Expressions of joy. Well, Luke chapter 18, verse 7. Now, we've already gone through this, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time apart from just reading this verse. Luke 18 and verse 7. Luke 18, verse 7 says this, right? This is what Jesus said. He said, listen, hear what the unjust judge said. And what did the unjust judge say? The unjust judge said four words, I will avenge her. I will avenge her. I will avenge her. And so those are the four words that the unjust judge said. And Jesus said, verse 6, hear what the unjust judge said. Verse 7, and shall God not avenge his own elect? Avenge, that means that's justice. He'll set things right, put things right, make things right. He's avenging us. Right? He will do that to the elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them. Now, the word cry doesn't mean to cry, to weep, to beg. There are too many criers, weepers, and beggars already in the world. God's not moved by crying. He's not moved by need. See, if God was moved by need, then the devil would be leading God. He just creates a need and God would have to go put out that fire. And we need to understand, we ought not to be led by need. All the devil has to do is create a need and all of a sudden we'd chase and won't go to put out this fire and chase him. All of a sudden we're being what? We're being led by the devil. That's not how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to be led by the Spirit, led by the Word of God. So when God says go here, we go there. God says say this, we say that. Amen? That's what we do, led by the Spirit. But it says here, so if this is not crying, weeping, and begging, then what is it? This word means shout. It means shout. So what's an expression? This is the first expression we're going to talk about today, is shout. Shout, for you got the victory. Amen? Shout, shout, shout. Woo, shout. Shout, the shout of faith and praise day and night to him, though he bears long with us. God will avenge those who shout the shout of faith and praise to him day and night. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. A shout. A shout. Amen. So now, shout. Let's go to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. It says, now, Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. That's shut up. Locked up. No coming, no going. Everyone was stuck. Inside, and Israel was stuck outside. All right? And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given into your hand Jericho. Notice that? He says, I have given. He says, I have given Jericho into your hand. Now, if you were standing there, you'd go, oh, that's funny, because we're standing out here and it's locked. I mean, he said, God calls things to be not as though they were. This is a faith God talking faith words. And he said, I have given you the city before they even had it. It's so they can see what's theirs ahead of time. God gives us promises so we can see this ahead of time. He says, by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. Well, I don't feel healed. But that's why, see, we have to believe what God said in order for it to happen. He said, listen, I have given you the city and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city. You shall go surround it, and you'll go all the men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shall you do 6 days. And the seven priests shall bear before the ark. Okay, hold it. How far are we going? Let's go to verse 5. Keep going. The seven priests will bear before the ark 7 trumpets and ram's horns. And the seventh day you'll compass the city or surround the city or circle the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow the trumpet. And it shall come to pass that when they have made a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall do what? Oh, that was pretty weak. All the people will do what? Let's one more time. Shout! With a great shout. Not a whiny shout. A great shout. Hallelujah. Shout, they'll shout the what? They'll shout the wall, and the walls of the city shall fall down flat. My cross-reference in the Hebrew says they'll fall down in its place. Fall down in its place. And the people shall ascend up, every man, woman, straight before him. Now, notice this. It says here that the walls, after the shout, the walls will fall and the people will ascend. The walls will fall and the people will go up. The walls will come down and the people will go up. The walls will come down and the people will ascend. You want to ascend in life? It's going to require a shout in order to bring the walls down so you can ascend. Amen? An expression of joy. And we do this before the walls come down. We do the shout before the walls come down. We do the shout of faith and praise while the walls are still up. When there's a wall in our way, when there's obstacles in our way, shout. Shout, the shout of faith and praise. Verse 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they arose early after the dawning of the day, and they surrounded and circled the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they circled the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priests blew the trumpet, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Shout why? Because the Lord has given you the city. Shout why? Because the Lord has given you the city. Why are we shouting? Because the Lord has given us great and precious promises. Amen? Why are we shouting? Because the Lord's given us the victory. Why are we shouting? Because the Lord has given us the victory. Why are we shouting? Because the Lord has given us the victory. Whatever area of your life you need the victory in, it may just require a shout. The shout of faith and praise in order to bring the walls down. And so he said, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. He has. He already has. And the walls are still up. Verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. And it came to pass that when the people heard the shout of the trumpet, or the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. They fell down right in its place, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. They took the city. They took the city. You want to take the promises of God in your life? You want to take the abundant life? Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, excessively, beyond measure, superior in quality, life and living. Everything that has to do with this, great and precious promises. If you want to go up and take these things that have been given to us, this is an expression of joy right here. We're going to have to rejoice. And one of the ways rejoicing looks for us in this is a shout of faith and praise, a shout of faith and praise, a shout of faith and praise. You think the only time we shout is when we go to the football game and there's a touchdown? That's not a hockey game and they get a goal. Woo! That's not the only time we shout. That's shouting for something that's very insignificant. It's just very entertaining. But we're talking about a shout of faith and praise that literally affects our life, our future. Ooh, excuse me. Don't sit here. Amen? A shout of faith and praise will cause us to take hold of what God has for us. Now, interesting, verse 27 says this. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout the country, or his fame spread throughout the country. This is my note here from this. Your increased fame and influence is to testify and give God all the glory. Do you understand what made Satan so scared of the Apostle Paul? Is that everywhere he went, he lifted up Jesus. Everywhere he went, he preached the kingdom of God. Everywhere he went, he glorified God. And so there was sent a demonic spirit to buffet him. Why? Because everywhere he went, he preached the gospel. Everywhere he went, lives were changed. Everywhere he went, the kingdom of God expanded. Our increased fame and our increased influence is the purpose to give God glory. It's not to get a big head. It's to give God glory. It's to advance the kingdom. So if our influence is only 10 people, then we can only affect 10 people's lives. But if our influence is 100 people, we can influence 100 people's lives. If our influence is 1 million people, we can influence 1 million people's lives. Wouldn't that be so much better? Let me ask that again. Wouldn't that be much better? Wouldn't it be much better to influence 1 million people's lives than 10 people's lives? We see here, the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised or spread throughout all the country. Because of his fame, he was able to glorify God. As our fame and influence increases, we get to glorify God. We get to tell more people about Jesus, get to tell more people about how good he is. We get to demonstrate, and they will pay attention to how good he is because we have influence in their lives. The devil uses this every day. Do you understand that? Celebrities that are not giving God glory, famous people that are not giving God glory, that are promoting themselves and just promoting a lifestyle that is completely ungodly, a lifestyle that is not worshiping and glorifying God and helping and being a benefit and blessing to others, they're using their fame. And some of them use this excuse. I didn't get into this to be a role model. Well, that's too bad. You are. The moment your fame increases and we have influence, we become a role model. So we ought to decide to be a godly role model. Amen? If it's to our children, if it's the people we're working with, if it's our grandchildren, if it's the people at the grocery store, if it's at the people to the pizza joint we go to regularly, wherever we go, whoever we have influence with, we ought to represent the King well. Amen? So, let's go. Judges chapter 6. So just a few pages over. Joshua, Judges. Judges chapter 6. So you see that? The shout of faith and praise. Do you see how that worked there? The shout of faith and praise brought the walls down. And when the walls came down, they were able to move on, move forward. So this is not just a pretty story. We have walls in our life. We have situations and circumstances, the obstacles that are in our way, and they don't just come down by prayer. We talked about this a few weeks ago, right? Remember? Paul and Silas were in jail, the lower part of the jail, and they prayed. But that's not all they did. They prayed and sang praises unto God, and God shook the jail and broke them loose, set them free. Amen? So it's not enough just to pray about the obstacles. It's not enough just to pray about the walls or the mountains that seem to be in our way. It's time to praise, to shout them down. Amen? This is what we're seeing. This is what we're seeing. This is how it works. Judges chapter 6. Starting in verse 6, says this: So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and I brought you out from the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and the hand of those that oppressed you, and I drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, so first of all, God's got three things he declared. They cried out to him. God said, I brought you up out of Egypt. I brought you out of the house of bondage. I delivered you, and now I'm saying to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Refuse to fear. And then he said this, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why were they impoverished? Why were they in bondage? Why were they experiencing these situations? They didn't obey God. They weren't obeying God. And so we understand this is not God's fault. God said, I brought you out. Right? I brought you up. I brought you out. I delivered you. But you disobeyed. And here you are. Here you are. So there may be situations and circumstances in our life that we find ourselves in, not because of God, but because of our own choices. Don't shout me down just because I'm preaching good. Don't, you know, say amen or oh me, but it's true, right? And so, but don't get condemned and don't get beat up. Let's not beat up ourselves. Let's just go, right. It's time to make a change. Amen? It's time to make a change. If we made a change and got ourselves into a problem, we can make a change and get ourselves out, right? Because God is always an ever-present help in time of trouble. He's there to help us. Amen? We don't have to get out by ourselves. We can get out because he is going to help us. And so, verse 11 says, Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the Tiberinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide from the Midianites. So Gideon's hiding. He's secretly just threshing some wheat so they can, you know, he can have a peanut butter and honey sandwich. Right? He's threshing some wheat so they can have something to eat. And he's not doing it in the open. He's hiding. And the angel of the Lord said to him, He's there hiding, and all of a sudden this voice and this person shows up. I'm sure he jumped. Ah! And it appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." And he comes, I'm sure he's looking around going, I don't know who you're talking to, but you got the wrong address, buddy. Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us," he's got some good questions. "Why has all this happened? Where are his miracles? Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites." See, this is what the media was teaching. This is social media, regular media. This is what culture was telling them. Your problem is God. God is your problem. We're under the heavy hand of the Midianites because God has forsaken us. It's his fault. It's his fault. It's his fault. It's all a lie. But see, that's all the devil can do is lie. Every time the devil tells us a lie and we believe it, we go in bondage. We go in bondage. That's just the way it works. Because God already said, "Listen, I brought you out, I brought you up, I delivered you, and yet, you've not obeyed my voice and got yourself in trouble." So, he shows up. "Gideon, mighty man of valor." He goes, "What? If I am, why, where, and but now, what's up? What's up, Doc?" Huh? And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this your might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" You will deliver Israel from the hand of the Midianites because I'm sending you. I'm sending you. I'm sending you. Gideon's call to bring deliverance and freedom to his people. I'm sending you. And now Gideon says this. Lord says, "I am sending you," and Gideon, I want you to see his mindset. I want you to see his way of thinking. Why? Because we may have this mindset and we may have this way of thinking, and it must change if we want to get victory. Gideon said this, "My Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my family is the weakest, and I am the least in my family." You know who Gideon has on his mind? Himself. He said, God says, "Go, and I will bring deliverance through you. I'm sending you." Well, how am I going to do it, and who am I, and how can I, and where am I, and I'm not able to, and I'm the least, and... See, we may have a mindset when the Lord says, "Listen, I want you to do something." We go, "Oh, I can't, and I don't know how, and who am I gonna, and I can't, and you don't know my background, and you don't know where I've been. I. And God is not talking about our I, he's talking about his I. God said, "I'm sending you." And so Gideon's mindset was, "I can't do it." And the Lord said to him, verse 16, "Surely I will be with you. And you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." I want to encourage you. You can do it because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen? You are not doing it on your own. The greater one lives on the inside of you. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. The greater one lives in us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We're not doing it in our own strength. We're not doing it because we're so amazing. We're doing it because the greater one lives in us and he's empowering and strengthening us. Everything he asks us to do, we can do. So, So Gideon goes, okay. He begins to wrap his mind around this, and he begins to drop in his heart, and he's beginning to see, okay, I'm not alone trying to do this on myself, by myself. So he sent out word to gather a bunch of people, so he had an army. And chapter 7, verse 1 says that he gathered all the people with him, and they rose early in the morning, and they then camped beside the well of Herod, and so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side, and they were on the hill of Moriah in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. He said, okay, there's too many people here, because if I save you, you all might get big-headed and say, I did it. Woohoo, we did a good job. Yeah, nice, way to go. We don't need God. We got it. We got this. No. He says, so I'll tell you what. He said, here's what you do. Say, anybody that's afraid, go home. 22,000 people walked out the door, walked over the hill, and left 10,000. So there was 32,000 people, so almost 70% of his crowd just left. Almost 70% of his crowd, 68% of his army just went home, right back over the hill. 10,000. 70% gone, almost 70% gone. I'm sure he's deflated. Look at the little crowd now. And God goes, yeah, verse 4. Yeah, the people are still too many. So here's what I'm going to do. We're going to do a test. Tell them to go down to the water and have a drink. And so 10,000 go down to the water. 9,700 of them get down on their knees and stick their head in the water and just start sucking up some water, getting a good drink. 300 of them get down on a knee, scoop some water, and they drink out of their hand. And God says, okay, the guys that got down on their knees and just stuck their head in the water, tell them to stand over there. And those that just drank out of their hand, have them stand over here. And Gideon's going, at least we still got 9,000. At least we still got a big crowd. And God goes, yeah, send the big crowd home. No. God, what are you doing to me? Huh? Send the 9,700 home. Y'all leave. Goodbye. See you later. I guess it's just us. It's like Thomas talking to Jesus, you know? Well, let's go to Jerusalem and die with him too. You know, he's just, okay, it's just us. 300. And God goes, yeah, that's a good number right there. That's what I'm looking for. You'll get the job done because you're trusting me and I'm going to get the glory. It doesn't have to be big numbers. You and God are a majority. Did you know that? Say that. Me and God are a majority. Hallelujah. Me and God are a majority. Glory to God. So, verse 16. So Gideon divided the 300 men into three companies. So three groups of 100. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand and a pitcher, an empty pitcher, a jar, a pitcher, and torches inside the pitcher. It's like a flashlight now, I put torches. And so he said to them, look at me and do what I do. Watch, and when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow your trumpets on every side of the whole camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. You say, and this word say is you say loudly, out loud and loudly, okay? And then he goes on. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp, at the beginning of the middle watch, just as the posts, they had posted the watch, and they blew the trumpet and broke the pitchers that were in their hands, and the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers and held the torches in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hand for blowing, and they cried. Again, that word cried, shout, shout. With a loud voice, they cried, they shouted, they shouted, they shouted, they shouted what? The sword of the Lord and of Gideon, and every man, the enemy, or every man stood in its place, stood in their place all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried out and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpet, and the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp, and the army fled. So, can you see this? They broke the picture, the light went, all of a sudden there's just, this light all of a sudden started to glow, and the trumpet blew, and everyone's yelling and screaming, the sword of the Lord and Gideon, from all three sides of this camp, and the enemy in the camp, they stood still, and they all of a sudden they were just frozen, and then they began to just pull their sword in, and they just began to kill one another, and they ran off. They're just terrified, and they had no idea what was going on, and they ran away. Panicked. That's a good word. They panicked. They panicked. And they ran off. They shouted the sword of the Lord and Gideon. They shouted and the Lord brought them the victory. Can you see that again? An expression of joy. They shouted. Joy. Shouting is an expression of joy. A shout of faith and praise. The shout of faith brought deliverance from the enemy and victory in their lives. The shout will do the same for us. All right, next one. Job chapter 8. Job chapter 8. Job chapter 8. I've got three, and who knows? We may only get two. Two things done today. Job chapter 8. Verses 20 and 21. Behold, God will not cast away the blameless, nor will he uphold the evildoers. He will yet fill your mouth with laughing and your lips with rejoicing. What's another expression of joy? Is laughter. Laughter. Psalm 126. Psalm 126 says this. Psalm 126 says, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. What does that mean? It says, it was like a dream. It seemed too good to be true. It seemed too good to be true. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Yeah, absolutely. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. We're excited and thrilling. We're gleeful. We're merry-hearted, and we've brightened up. It's exciting. Hallelujah. Bringing back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he who continues going forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. What do I want us to see here? When the Lord brought back the captivity, when the Lord delivers us, when he sets us free, then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. There is an expression of joy that we do by faith that'll cause deliverance and freedom in our lives. We can laugh by faith. We can laugh. And if you listen to brain neurologists and brain specialists, they talk about a real laugh, a belly laugh, real laugh, and even a put-on laugh. Our body and our system cannot tell the difference. Ha, 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 ha. We can just laugh by faith. I don't feel like laughing, but we can still laugh by faith and get the same results. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha. Let's practice that together. Ha, 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 ha. Glory to God. Ha, 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 ha. See, it can't distinguish between the two. So we just do it by faith in order to experience being set free, deliverance. Well, we can shout and we can laugh. We can shout and we can laugh. Amen? So, the Lord has done great things for us. If we want to experience God doing great things for us, one of the expressions of joy is laughter. Begin to laugh. Lord, you said that you have redeemed us from the curse of the law. You have redeemed us from debt. You have redeemed us from lack and poverty. You redeemed us from sickness and disease. You've redeemed us. And you've redeemed us from that, so you've redeemed us too. By the stripes of Jesus, we're healed. By the poverty of Jesus, we've been made rich, wealthy, and increasing in goods. Ha, 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 ha. Hallelujah. That's what the Lord said. I believe it. And we just laugh about it. Laugh about it. Why? Because we believe it. We believe it. We believe the Word of God. And as we laugh, the Lord has done great things. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. We can laugh ahead of time, and we can laugh afterwards. Hallelujah. We just get in the habit of laughing. So, the Lord has done great things. Psalm 2. Psalm 2. We'll go back to the beginning of the psalm. Psalm 2. Psalm 2. Well, I don't know about that laughing stuff. Well, verse 4. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them, talking about the enemy and the wicked one, in derision. The word derision means to speak unintelligibly, mocking them, always keeping them off balance. He who sits in the heavens laughs. God laughs. God laughs. God is not a sourpuss. God is not a big grumpy guy with a big long beard and a stick to beat us when we do something wrong. I mean, even if we just think about something wrong, we don't even have to do it. He'll just beat us. No, that's not our God. He laughs. He laughs. He's joyous. And he laughs at the enemy. He laughs at the enemy. So when the enemy says, you can't do that. When the enemy says, yeah, you might be sick and you might have got healed last time, but you're not going to get it this time. Laugh. When the enemy tells me, yeah, you're not going to be able to get out of that lack. That's just, you're going to be in debt. You're going to be paying for your house for, 150 years. There's no way you're going to get out. And there's just no way you're going to find a job, not in this economy. And he says, there's just no way. Just laugh. He who sits in the heavens laughs. Let's laugh at the enemy. Laugh at the enemy. Ha, 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 Mr. Devil. I've got some promises. I got some promises from God. This is what the Word of God says. Ha, 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 ha. So we can laugh at the devil, and we can laugh because we're just expressing joy and excitement and thanksgiving to God. We can laugh with God because we believe what he said, and we can laugh at the devil because he's a liar. Laugh. Ha, ha, ha. Amen? 37. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. There actually is more. We're not going to go through all the scriptures. Talking about laughter, but Psalm 37, this is a good one too. Verse 13, Psalm 37, verse 13, the Lord laughs at him, the wicked. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The Lord laughs at him. I tell you what, the devil is terrified at the moment. He knows his time is very, very short. And he's pulling out every obstacle. He's pulling out every plan and strategy. He's endeavoring to make his best stand. And the Lord laughs at him. He laughs at him. You think that makes the devil feel good? When we stand up and we declare something and people laugh at us, does that make us feel good? It doesn't make us feel good. When people laugh and mock at us. So God says, he laughs at the enemy. He laughs at the wicked. He laughs because he sees their time is short. We can laugh at the devil. I'm going to kill you early. You're not going to live long. You're going to be full of pain all your days. You're not going to make it. We just laugh at him. Just laugh at him. He doesn't like it. If he shows up and starts applying pressure, laugh. Brother Hagin talks about when he almost died of a heart condition, a blood disease, basically wasn't even supposed to make it to his 17th birthday. He was paralyzed for a year. And so God healed him. And a number of years later, he said he could feel it coming back on him again. And he was at death's door. And he said he was preaching at a church. And so he was staying in the pastor's, I think it was the pastor's or someone's house. And so he was in the bedroom and he pulled the covers over his head and he just began to laugh because he didn't want to wake them up. And he just laughed and laughed. He said, I laughed for 10 minutes. I laughed for 40 minutes. I laughed, whatever it was. He was to say he laughed for half an hour. Ha. And he said, I didn't feel like it. He felt the grips of death had come on him. He says, I've been there before. He died three times and came back. And so he says, I've been there before. I know what it feels like. And death's grip came back on him. And so he pulled that cup and he just laughed. Ha, 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 ha. And after a little while, the devil said, what are you laughing about? He says, I'm laughing at you. He said, why are you laughing at me? He says, because you said I'm not going to get it. He said, that's right, you're not going to get it this time. You might have got it last time, but you're not going to get it this time. And he goes, that's why I'm laughing at you. Ha, ha. And he laughed again, whether it was another 10 minutes or so. He said, I didn't look. You know, sometimes it seems like a long time. You laugh for a long time. It seems like a long time, and it could be this much longer, you know. But he said the second time, the devil came and said, what are you laughing at? He said, I'm laughing at you. Why are you laughing at me? He says, I'm laughing at you because you said I'm not going to get it. He said, the devil said, that's right, you're not going to get it this time. You might have got it last time, but you're not going to get it this time. And he said, ah, ha, 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 ha. And after laughing for a while again, the devil said, what are you laughing at? He says, I'm laughing at you. He said, why are you laughing at me? He says, I'm laughing at you because you said I'm not going to get it. That's right, you're not going to get it. He said, Mr. Devil, he said, pull up a chair. He pulled out the Bible. And he said, I don't have to get it. Jesus already got it for me. By the stripes of Jesus, ye were healed. I was healed. I was healed. He bore my sicknesses, carried my diseases, and by his stripes I was healed. I don't have to get it. Jesus already got it for me. And the devil left. And the symptoms left. Why? You laugh at the devil long enough and know the word of God. Mind is renewed to the word of God. The devil would just leave. Run them off. Ha, 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 ha. Why? Because I believe the Bible. Amen? We talked about that last week, wasn't it? The Apostle Paul said, listen, cheer up. Why? Because I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Sometimes we just need to look in the mirror. Instead of Paul talking to everyone on the ship, we just need to look in the mirror. Cheer up. Hallelujah. Look in the mirror. Cheer up. Talk to ourselves. Cheer up. I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Amen? Hallelujah. Laugh. Just laugh, 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 laugh. Genesis 21. Genesis 21. Ha, ha, ha. Glory to God. Genesis 21. So Abraham left. God had him leave his family, his relatives, when he was 75. Talking to him about having a baby, and his wife has been barren forever. Forever. Now, Abraham, 25 years later, is 100. His wife is 90. And just before this, you know, they were laughing. God said, you're going to have a child, and it's going to be through Sarah. She laughed, the laugh of unbelief. Abraham laughed and said, is there any other way? Let's just do it. Yeah, I mean, let's just do it some other way. They laughed, the laugh of unbelief. But then they both got on the same page and they began to laugh because they believed God. Abraham's 100, Sarah's 90, and she had her Isaac. Isaac means laughter. Laughter. Isaac means laughter. And she said this. Verse 6. 21, verse 6. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. God has made me laugh. So we can laugh before the walls fall down. We can laugh when all we have is just the promise. We can laugh when the deliverance and the freedom and the captivity hasn't even happened yet. We can laugh. And we can laugh afterwards. God can make us laugh. Matter of fact, He can enable us to laugh. He can enable us to laugh. See, we laugh before and after the victory results. We can laugh by faith. We laugh at the enemy, and we laugh because of the goodness of God. Laugh a faith laugh, just like the shout of faith. A shout of faith and praise. We do that ahead of time, and we can laugh ahead of time. Why? Because we expect God results. We expect good results. We expect kingdom of God results. We expect the promise of God results. Amen? It was 2009, 2010, I guess a few years after we were married, we were in the process of moving to Calgary, and then situation arose, and we were hindered from moving here. And so one day, a Saturday morning, Audra and I were praying. And I was confessing and speaking and meditating the Habakkuk word that we read last week. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll joy in the God of my salvation, for the Lord God is my strength. Yet I will rejoice. And I began to lift my hands and I began to rejoice and just praise God, because this has messed, it messed with our plans. It was an obstacle that was beyond our control. And so we were praying. And as I began to meditate the word, as I began to speak it and declare it, it began to affect my whole being. Mentally, I'm thinking about it. Spiritually, with my heart, I believe it and I'm excited about it. And it began to affect my body, and it began to also affect my emotions. And I began to cry, and then I began to laugh. And I began to laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. And Matthew was, I don't know, 9 or 10, something like that, in that out there. And so this piece of paper slid under our door. What are you laughing at? And so Audrey slid the note back. We're laughing at the devil. And I laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. Laughed for almost an hour. Almost an hour long. And we just got the victory. We got the victory. Moved on. But it was, you yield. We have to yield to God. Yield to His word. yield to his promises and just give place, express, give expression to the joy. Jump up and down, spin around, shout, woo, glory to God. Laugh, ha, 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 laughing, and tears running down my face, laughing and hallelujah. Could I shut it off? I could shut it off. But I just continued to yield and respond to it. And it just kept bubbling up. Hallelujah. Laugh. So we can laugh before and we can laugh after the victory results. We laugh by faith. What does that mean? That means we believe that we receive before we even have. By faith. Because we're trusting God. Amen? We're laughing. We're laughing at the devil. Because we know he's a liar. And we're laughing at the goodness of God because we know he's working. He's working. He's working on our behalf. We trust him, and the laugh of faith allows and enables him to continue to work on our behalf. Amen? A laugh. And so we will have to pick up here. Laughter is an expression of joy and gladness. Laughter is an expression of joy and gladness. Hallelujah.